We now begin Maseches Kedushin, and this is the general introduction. The topic of Maseches Kedushin is Jewish marriage, and in truth, Jewish marriage occurs in two distinct stages. The first stage is essentially legal marriage, that's the Kedushin, also known as the Erusin, and the second stage is Nisuin, functional marriage. Okay, the word Kedushin is a rabbinic term in the verse themselves, when it refers to a woman who has been miskadeshes, undergone this first stage of legal marriage of becoming a married woman. It refers to her as an aras. So the Torah's word would be something like erusin for this stage of marriage. But the rabbis called it kedushin, and the word kedushin means quite literally something like sanctification. And the idea is that already once a woman becomes miskadeshes, so she is now sanctified, and that means specifically that she is designated specifically to one person to be married to him to the exclusion of everybody else, meaning now she's a married woman. If someone else would sleep with her, they would be liable for adultery and all the consequences thereof. And although already by stage one, Kedushin, she already is a fully married woman, that's only legally married. They aren't living together as a husband and wife, and therefore certain other, like, I'll call them like financial considerations, like who inherits her and so on, don't kick in until she becomes his functional wife by transitioning from living in her parents' home, meaning in her father's domain, Rishus, into her husband's home, her husband's domain, Rishus. So the idea is that in the time of the Mishnah, and before in the Chumash for sure, and in the time of the Tanakh, the assumption was that a woman would live in some man's household. Today the world is a different place, but that's the conception, that's the imagination, what's happening over here. The assumption is she's going to be either normally living with her parents and then transitioning to her husband. And that transition happened when she was quite young. And the difference in time between the stage one, when she becomes miskadeshes, and when she becomes a nesua and moves in with her husband is quite a long period of time. Something like a year in the time of the Mishnah. So the point is, at a young age, something like, say, around 12 years old, give or take, she would become miskadeshes, legally married to a man. She would continue to live inside the home of her father until, like, a year later, when she would move over from her father's home into her husband's home. Now, nowadays, we don't do that. Nowadays, we do the Kedushin and the Nisuin, you know, kind of back-to-back in the same, on the same day. With the span of hours. In any case, our Mishnah is going to really focus on the mechanics of how that works. So, to understand what's happening here, the gist of it is that Kedushin is a kinyan. In fact, the first Mishnah of the Masechta talks about the kinyanim, ha'isha niknes, meaning a transaction that happens regarding her being a wife. So, we'll explain more about the mechanics of that kinyan later on. We get to the Masechta in earnest. But I understand in principle what's happening here is that a woman has the right to marry whomever she wants, but only to one person. She'll only be married to one man. So the transfer of the rights from her own rights to being someone else's, you know, exclusively someone else's rights of marriage are effected through a maisa kinyan, some kind of action which effects a transaction. And therefore, much of the Masechta, at least the beginning perek, the first perek, will deal with kinyanim in general, what effects various, you know, transactions, legal transactions to change status or transfer of rights for various types of things. Okay? As far as the ishus, the marriage rights are concerned, understand that the kinyan that's happening, it's not that the husband is acquiring the wife as a her person, like you would acquire like a slave, or even some kind of financial rights on her, a kinyan mamonos, you're not owning her. But the woman has certain rights regarding to whom she can be married, and she can allocate them to whoever she chooses. So it's something like this. You know, if I have a home and I want to rent it out to someone for the weekend, so I can rent it out, and I can even put in stipulations. I say, I'll rent it out to you on condition that, you know, no pets and no parties for the weekend. So then if we do the deal and you make it a binding transaction, right? So then doing some kind of maisa kinyan that affords you the rights. So now the house is always mine, but you have rights to be there for the weekend. they're limited rights, right? Those, they're not, you can't sell the house or burn it down. You can't even bring pets or have parties. But you can stay there for the weekend. And if I try coming, you can say, no, this is, I've got the rights to use this apartment or house, whatever it is. So the same kind of thing, a woman has certain rights regarding to her marriage rights, and she can allocate them to one person, and that doesn't mean he's acquiring all of her or her person or her financial or something like that, but he's acquiring those rights, the rights to be her husband, okay, to make her his wife. And that is affected by Kiddushin. Now, according to the Rambam, this, the act of Kiddushin, of first, you know, acquiring those rights and affecting and sanctifying this relationship through that act of Kiddushin, is a mitzvah all to itself. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. And so prior to a husband, just, you know, brings a man prior to him brings some wife into the house and living with her as his wife, he's first to sanctify that relationship through a ma'aseh Kiddushin, and hence the term Kiddushin, the sanctification. This is quite similar also to the notion of when one brings in, let's say, an offering, he's makdish, let's say, an animal to be a sacrificial offering. So as soon as a person consecrates the animal to be the sacrificial offering, he's makdish it, he consecrates it. And he must actually say something like harezu ola, identifying it as an ola and investing with that sanctification prior to offering it. But it, before it's been offered, it's only designated as an offering. It's not actually the offering yet, till obviously till after it's brought on the mizbeach, you know, where the blood is offered, and so on. So, kind of similarly, a couple, so when after Kiddushin, she's been designated to be his, she becomes forbidden to everybody else through Kiddushin. Rabbinically, however, she's even still forbidden to her husband. Okay, midrabbanan, she can't even sleep with her husband until they do the Birchas Nesuin, the brachas, like what we call Sheva brachas, those seven blessings that we make under the chuppah prior to them living together. Again, this is to confer the proper sanctity and decorum that a marriage deserves. Okay, so that's what Kiddushin is. In modern Hebrew, the word erusin means engagement. Okay, don't get that confused. In the Mishnah, erusin and kiddushin are synonymous, and they mean the first stage of marriage, marriage proper, fully married, just legally married, not functionally married. But erusin in modern Hebrew means engaged, which in the Talmudic talk would be something like shiduchin, meaning that they're, you know, they promise to get married. But in the kiddushin isn't just engagement, or erusin isn't just engagement in the Chazal, in the Mishnah, it means full-blown legal marriage. She's dedicated to him and forbidden to everybody else. Now, what affects the second part of marriage, the nesuin, is something called chuppah. So chuppah, let's say for now, is them living together, husband and wife. So meaning that she goes into his domain. That could be done symbolically with, like, the poles and the canopy with the talus on top or something like that, or maybe the yichud room, the private room where they seclude each other with each other, because man and woman don't have yichud seclusion unless they're married. So they're functioning as husband and wife. There are other shittas exactly what affects the Nisuin part, but the idea is that they're living as a husband and wife and function that way, as opposed to simply just committing the rights to be, you know, this formally to be married in a legal sense. If a girl hasn't yet reached the age of 12 and a half, she's not a bogeres, a full, you know, legal woman, she's only a katana, meaning she hasn't had bar mitzvah yet, which is the age of 12 years old, plus she begins puberty, which is defined by her having like two pubic hairs. So until then, she is a katana, a minor, and it's her father who has the rights to marry her off. So that means if a man is going to be marrying this girl, Kiddushin, so she wouldn't accept the, let's say, the ring, Kesef Kiddushin, that would affect, that's one way to affect the Kiddushin, the marriage. Her father would accept it, essentially on her behalf, but he would keep it. And similarly, even if she's a na'ara, even if she's within the first 6 months after bat mitzvah, up to 12 and a half, again, it's the father who, l'halacha, will be the one who would be receiving the Kiddushin on her behalf to effect this marriage. After 12 and a half years old, the only person who could receive the Kesef Kiddushin, or whatever it is going to be the girl herself. Now, in the event that a woman, or a girl I should say, doesn't have a father, like, you know, she's essentially an orphan, so then the rabbis authorize that her mother or her brothers who are bar mitzvah could accept kedushin on her behalf, because she can't do it yet because she's not a she's still a legal minor, she's not yet bar mitzvah. If they do that, that's really for her benefit, and therefore she has to agree to this marriage. And not only does she have to agree to it, even if she does agree to it, prior to becoming bas mitzvah, if she decides after all she doesn't want to be married to this person, so she can do what's called miyun, reject him, and then it's as if she never was married. The whole procedure was annulled, she never was married, and therefore she could still marry anybody she wants. She wants even a kohen, meaning she's not a divorcee, she just never was married at all. That's called kedushei katana. Once they are in a regular marriage, once they are married, so then they're married forever from Kedushin already. To sever that relationship, even from Kedushin, even before Nisuin, requires a get. A get is the only way to sever from Kedushin onwards, because they're fully married. Or, of course, if the husband dies, so then the marriage is automatically dissolved, and then she's free to marry whoever she wants, ignoring any issues of Yibum. Okay. So that is the basic structure and premise behind Kedushin. A couple of the important conditions. When Kedushin is effected, there must be two witnesses that observe this event happening. Just like by Gittin, those aren't witnesses that are there simply just to confirm that it did happen, like Ede Birur it's called, like just to ask, you know, to confirm the facts afterwards. No. They're Ede Kiyum. They actually are required to be present, learn from verses, to make the marriage a marriage. Meaning, if in private a man gives a woman a ring and says, Hariat Mekudeshli B'Tabadzu, and she accepts that ring, and no one else sees it, they're just simply not married, no matter what. Not even like, you know, Klapei Shemayim in God's eyes, because two witnesses to be present are essential to effect this marriage. Like Gittin, and also like Gittin, we'll see that you could be Mekadesh a woman through a shaliach, she can accept her kedushin through a shaliach, an agent. And similarly, the kedushin could be, you know, predicated on certain tanaim, on certain conditions. The same way a get could be contingent on certain conditions, so could a kedushin also be contingent upon certain conditions being met. Okay, so that's the basic idea of what we're dealing with here. And the first mission really gets into the thick of it, exactly the mechanics of how does one effect Kedushin, what is the Maisa Kedushin. So let's get into it now. Bez Hashem, starting Maseches in earnest with Mishnah 1:1.